to Ladies of Lee for August 8, 2013. This is episode 73, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I'm Kim.
I'm Stephanie.
And this week we're going to discuss Sleeping Dogs, Deadlight, and Rogue Legacy. So those are our main games, and we all three of us have pretty much played everything.
Yeah.
Except for Rogue Legacy, we just got into that, so we'll probably talk about it on next episode too. We also have some iOS games, and of course Mateo's app of the week.
Yay!
So how are you girls doing?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Dragon Con is right around the corner.
I can't think about that. Speaking of which, we haven't announced it on the show. If you're not familiar with Dragon Con, go to dragoncon.org and you'll learn all about it. It's a con that happens in Atlanta, Georgia. Stephanie lives in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes.
I fly there because I am a co-director for the podcasting track that happens during Dragon Con. So I've been really busy trying to get together a lot of sessions and things like that. And in fact, Ladies Elite will be recording live at Dragon Con. So if you are in the Atlanta area, and you're going to Dragon Con, you should definitely come. We'll be in the Hilton, room 203. I can't remember what day. I think it's a Sunday.
Nice.
Is it Sunday? I can't remember. I'll have to look.
Yeah, I think it's, it's Sunday.
Yeah. So, and Kim is, you know, bringing herself all the way from Australia again.
Yay!
So
amazing.
So I'll be a zombie around Dragon Con again.
So many frequent flyer miles.
Oh my gosh.
I use points. I have about half of its points because I travel so much that I got lots of points. So.
Lots of points. I used to have lots of points, but I used them all up. I used up my last bit of Hilton points for my hotel at BlizzCon in November. Because I'll be there as well.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to Dragon Con and hanging out with you girls again. And in fact, I had so much fun doing Ladies of Elite live at Nerdtacular that it was almost like, oh, now I can't wait to do it again at Dragon Con.
It's right. So much different being there together. Mm-hmm. It's so much better.
Well, and Veronica is going to join us at Dragon Con as well. So
she is. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so she'll be there. Get to hang out with her, and they have a video game track, which I never get to go to, which bums me out. But I remember last year I was going to go to a panel, and the line for it was really long. I don't think they anticipated the gaming track sessions to be as popular as they were.
Right.
So
the big one last year was Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that line was just insane. I mean, it was closed before the start time, like before the doors were even meant to be open. They would close it off.
Maybe they'll put them in bigger rooms this year.
That would be nice.
What were you going to say, Kim?
Yeah, they do that. I think sometimes they don't expect that kind of stuff, but they should have.
They should.
I mean, video games are huge now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Look at Comic-Con.
Well, I think too, they probably didn't anticipate the demand because during the same week, I think PAX... PAX East is it that is going on at exact same time?
I think it's PAX West.
Is it PAX West?
Yeah, that's
PAX West. It's West. Okay.
Yeah.
East, West. I can't keep it straight.
Australia, you know, they've got a PAX in Australia now.
Yeah. That's right. They're everywhere now.
Awesome.
So yeah. There. I'm not sure if is PAX again during the same time as
it's always
Memorial
always Labor Day weekend.
Or is it Labor Day?
Yep.
Yep. Labor Day, Memorial Day.
it's the weekend that we cook out, right?
I think I'm running a fever.
I think like 2 years ago, PAX had to shift a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, some people got to go to Dragon Con and some didn't. You know, it was like, oh, we get to go to Dragon Con now. So,
So look us up. We'll be there. Typically, we have a podcasting table in the Hilton. They've moved the Walk of Fame this year. I don't know if you've heard that. It used to be in the Hilton where all the celebrities would line up and you could go and just, honestly, I would just walk around. I just wanted to sightsee. by the way, I met Alcide from Alcide or whatever, however you pronounce his name, Joe Mantega or whatever.
Oh, from yeah, Tribune. That's right. You made him pick out the picture but that you know he liked though? Best.
But that totally ruined it for me. Like, I don't like him now.
What?
Because he was a jerk. And well, it's like, once you break that kind of thing with that actor and that you built him up in your head, and they're still a person. They're still just a person. They're playing a part on the screen. They're not that person, right?
But so, after you told us that story and I saw him in Magic Mike, I was like, Yeah. Not so much anymore.
Arrogance.
So it does affect you.
Arrogance just isn't that sexy to me, you know?
Right. Yeah. We want the illusion.
Don't be humble, damn it. Fake it. I don't care.
Fake it. Exactly.
You're an actor, right? Act like you're humble. All right. Enough Dragon Con talk. We're here to talk about video games and what we've been playing for the past week. We decided at the very end, I don't know if you heard the little Easter egg, that we were trying to decide what we were going to play. And one of the games that we, all three of us had, was a game called Deadlight. Yes. And I had picked this up. It was one of those things where I think it was a Steam sale. And I picked it up, probably for cheap. And I just didn't get around to even exploring it. And when you mentioned it, Stephanie, I got into it. And I'm like, I really like this game. At first I was like, another damn zombie game.
Right?
But this is a side-scrolling zombie game,
platformer.
Basically. Yeah, a platformer. It came out in 2012, I guess it was, and it was on the Xbox Live. It came out for Steam in October of last year. So it's a Microsoft game, right? Yeah. Microsoft Studios. So you play as the character Randall Wayne, who's looking for his family.
Yeah.
Got a zombie apocalypse.
Although it's set in 86, which is an interesting time period.
In Seattle, too, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't understand the 1986 part. It actually had nothing to do with the story.
Right. I think it's more like they want to remove the temptation of modern day communications.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's no internet and there is no cell phones.
Well, yeah, no cell phones. Yeah.
No cell phones. Well, there weren't in 86.
No. Yeah. So, you're essentially, because, you know, back in the times when if you've lost touch with somebody, how are you going to find them?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, it's just word of mouth, really, at that point.
You can text them.
Yeah.
Right. Put up posters. Lost family.
Lost
reward.
Family.
So, and it, I mean, there's a virus outbreak that reanimates the dead. The visuals, just the ambiance and the tone of the game, I thought was really cool.
Absolutely.
You know, the zombies have red eyes and
call them shadows.
Yeah, and I'm
always intrigued by different zombie games by what they actually call the zombies. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you calling them? And in this place, they call them shadows, which I thought was interesting. You know, it's like shadow of shadow of a former human.
This game would be great on the iPad.
Agreed.
I would love it on the iPad.
Ooh,
because
it on the Vita, too.
When I was playing it, it reminded me, what was the game
Limbo.
Called? Not Limbo. It reminded me of that one. I recommended it, and of course it's going to make me, it was like episode one of and it was a time travel game, but it was a apocalyptic game, and you played this guy and you went in and you solve puzzles and things, and it was a side scroller as well. I can't remember the name. I'll think of it and probably, but that's what it made me think of, and that's why I thought, oh, I would love to have this on the iPad, because that game was also an iPad game. I'm really surprised at how much I'm enjoying playing this game.
Me too.
How about you guys?
Too, yeah, I was totally surprised by this game. First, I got into it, and the first thing that you see is just the art style, and it's amazing.
Yes.
And yes. the music is great, and it doesn't take away. Sometimes the music just gets in the way of the story. This was great, great music. I was like, I really like this.
Yeah, sets to it.
Yeah, it's got an ambiance, definitely. Yeah. And I think the art style is awesome. I really like that. And it's easy, but it's hard. You know,
I think it's puzzle-based.
Discourages killing. You know, it really wants you to figure out how to get from one point to the other without killing. But of course, there's, you know, you have to kill sometimes.
Right.
And then the animations when you do kill, you know, heads are flying off and stuff. Really, really good. I mean, I think they did everything on this game right. And the cut scenes where, you know, he's going back and the story part of it, they're short, but they're informative. And you have his diary. Have you guys read his diary?
Yes. That was intense.
Amazing. Yes. And he's like, you know, I can't believe I'm actually writing a diary. And you get the feeling that he's like, oh, crap, man, things are just going to hell.
Well, it's his way of documenting what's going on and trying to keep a grip on reality at this point.
Yeah.
Because
it fit into the story really well.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I like the art, the almost comic book feel that I got initially, and how they are telling a story with that, because it's a indie game. So it's not like a huge budget to do all this awesome, like realistic animation. So they're telling a story through pictures in a lot of aspects. And then you jump into the gameplay where you have, you know, electricity that you have to avoid, and you're trying to get out of a building, and you're trying to, like you said, avoid killing, because if you stop too long, the zombies catch up to you, because you'll walk past the zombie, and then as soon as you walk past them, they'll go, oh, and they'll get up and they'll start chasing you. And so it's not zombies everywhere all the time, but you have to strategically. I love the scene where we have to empty out the water, and I'm like, are there zombies in the water? And then you get up and you wade through the water, and then they like, well, I guess you can't drown a zombie.
And once again, your dude can't swim. This is like the theme, right? So somebody in a zombie thing can't swim. Float! Dang you, float!
That's what I'm thinking. Can he not even doggy paddle up for a breath? He can't even do that.
Nothing. I'm thinking maybe he's like weighted down or something. Like, my boots are too heavy.
He's a rock man. That's what he is. A rock man.
But yeah, I like the puzzles because, like you said, there's usually some kind of challenge that you need to do. Like, I need to get from point A to point B, one side of the screen to the other. How do I best do it? And I enjoy the mechanic of taunting.
I forgot about that.
So that you can taunt all the zombies to come close to you and then run past them, jump past them, or lure them into a trap and try and get rid of as many as you can. But yeah, the object is not to outright kill them, it's to get past them. And I like that, because I mean, I've killed a couple. I pushed one out a window. That's an interesting achievement. That was pretty funny.
But there are lots of achievements in this game.
Yes, I dig that. But just outright hacking them, like hitting them with a knife, that will not kill them. I did it. I must have hit him like 12 times, and he just wouldn't die. And he said, oh, you're running out of stamina. I was like, okay, I'm going to run. Yeah, get out of there, because it's sort of shooting them in the head. They won't go down very easily.
Yeah.
And your bullets are very, very precious. So
and, kicking the doors, and at first I was like, "Are you?" I'm using a controller. I love any game that lets me use a controller on a PC. So
I need to get one for this game, because the keyboard is killing me. It's just killing me.
Yeah,
I tried it on the keyboard, and then I went to my controller. Controller's so much easier on this game. It's almost mandatory for this game.
Especially when you have to do that strange wall jump where you run, you sprint towards a wall, jump, and then jump in the opposite direction to get up. That is so difficult on a keyboard. I usually miss it like 3 times before I get it right.
Yeah.
I need a controller.
Like, what's the action for kick the door? And the zombies are rushing at you, and I'm trying to hit him with my axe, and I'm like, I'm dead.
Yeah, sometimes you can crash through a door by just running at it, and other times you have to kick it open, and kicking for me is like F twice. So yeah, whatever your F is.
B. You need to get a wired controller.
I know. I saw one on Amazon, so I'll just pick one up.
Yeah, just get it.
Yeah, they're not that expensive. Just the little ones. Oh, you've got a Mac, don't you? So
no, this is on my PC. So.
Yeah. Okay. Alrighty.
Oh, I still can't.
But yeah, I love the artwork. You know, there's rain and weather effects going on in the background. It really gives you a sense of depth when you're actually doing the platforming.
To the point I want to go back there.
Right? I'm always like, can I go in that direction?
It looks like you can because it's not necessarily completely 2D. It's like, and I think they call it 2.5D.
Right.
Not 3D.
It's really well done. I mean, 0.5, really well
that 0.5 makes you want to go back in that corner.
Yep. Oh man.
Yeah, this game and then really surprised me.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's $14.99. I'm sure you can easily catch it on sale. Check it out. If you're on Xbox, pick it up on Xbox Live Arcade or on Steam.
Yep.
It's really cool little side scroller fun game. Survival. Mm-hmm. Survive.
That's right.
The next game we have, all three of us played, is a 2012 release, Sleeping Dogs, open-world action-adventure game. This one's been on my radar since it came out. I think I didn't really feel like paying $50 for it at the time.
Agreed.
Yeah, me too. But again, this was one that surprised me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. But then I got into it, and I was like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, because when we spoke last week, this was on sale on Steam. Mm-hmm. They were doing like a flash sale or something like this. And a listener of the show gifted it to me. Nice. Thank you. And I can't remember your name. In fact, he gave me your gamer tag, but I didn't have your name. And I met him and his wife at Nerdtacular, so I'm feeling really crappy. Because he sent me this game and he says, it wasn't on your wish list, but it's a cool game. And I have to agree. I was too surprised by it. was interesting is the history behind the game. It was originally supposed to be called True... Whoop, Joey! Nope,
sorry about that.
Joey!
True barking.
That's okay. We haven't had a Joey... appearance in a while.
That's right.
We haven't.
Remember some of those earlier episodes? Joey! Joey is her dog, by the way, in case you're wondering if you're a new listener. So the game was originally announced in 2009 as the third installment to the reboot of the True Crime series and was going to be True Crime Hong Kong. Mm. But it was canceled by Activision Blizzard in 2011, and then Square Enix picked it up and published it under Sleeping Dogs. Right. So you're playing, it's a third person, I don't even want to say shooter because you're kicking a lot of, it's all action. No,
it's melee
it's
mostly.
It's melee and kicks and punches and...
And driving, lots of driving.
Yeah, so...
this is another where I need the controller, I swear, because I can't drive those cars for crud.
Yeah, controller works great with this one. So I'm having a good time with this one. I haven't played it probably as much as you have. It's because I haven't even gotten to the driving part of it. I'm just doing missions in for all the people in the market right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beat up people.
So I'm trying to... you're playing Wei Shin, a Chinese-American police officer who goes undercover to infiltrate this gang basically that from the area that he grew up in. Mm-hmm. And there's like some vendetta going on, like with his sister and his family, and I'm not sure what's going on. So they're kind of slowly unwrapping that story as I'm going through the gameplay. This is for me a button masher when I'm fighting.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like X hold, or I do like the block feature because with enemies, because there'd be, seven people or seven guys coming at you at once, but the mechanism where they turn red, they're going to hit you, so you can hit block to kind of do a cool block and then, kick.
And that gets
punch
you
them
points.
Punch them in the groin or something.
when you start using that and you have a really good block, then you'll get points and it's a leveling thing.
Right. You can actually heal yourself by intimidating them by doing a certain number of combos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen my health go up and I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah. 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 Learning those combinations is really key in this mm-hmm. game, that it's not just, you know, hit, block. It's really, it uses those mechanics as a yes. leveling thing too, and as healing and gaining other things. So, and when you do the grapple hook or the yes. grabbing them and slamming them, yeah, it's yeah. the same thing. You get points and you get rewarded for doing those kind of things, which is yeah. cool, because most of the time, the melee fighting stuff for me is like a button master. Right, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But this one was a little different. So
it is encouraging you to memorize those moves.
Right.
Yeah. Which definitely
I have a hard time
memorizing. When I'm starting a fight, I tend to like move my character towards things mm-hmm. because like you said, when you do the grapple, you know, when somebody's blocking you, you can grapple them, and then instantly environmental things light up, like a dumpster. I can throw them into the dumpster. I can smash them into a window. I can throw them over a railing, you know, yeah. that sort of thing. And they encourage that. They encourage you to use the environment around you to win a fight.
Right.
And they'll reward you for that, too, which is fun.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is reminding me of Batman Arkham series, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, that kind of free-flowy kind of thing that with Batman. So, that's why I think I was pleasantly surprised by it, because I'm like, oh, it's hand-to-hand combat, but I'm kind of enjoying this.
Right.
Yeah, I was surprised, too, because I normally don't like those.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, another thing on this game, though, is the voice acting. Mm-hmm. I really liked the voice acting, and they did a really good job with it. So, you know, and they have Chinese in there, and they have English in there.
Mandarin.
A lot of cussing, though. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It is a very salty game.
Yes, this is not a game you want to play around your kids. Not at all.
No.
Yeah.
Which... I mean, you can expect it. But I haven't played a game like this or Grand Theft Auto in a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that boom in your face, you're like, oh, wow. It kind of shocks you.
Yeah, that's definitely the other game that it reminds me of is Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. This open world idea where you run around and do different missions for people. But in this case, you're balancing, you know, the fact that you're an undercover cop. So you're doing police work. And you're doing work with the gangs. And right. and whenever you finish a mission, you get rated on both. You know, like when you were driving, did you do collateral damage? Did you hit pedestrians? Did you hit other cars?
I hate that.
Yeah, that's a deduction off the police side.
But you can replay the mission too, right?
Yes. Yeah. But it's interesting that I'm getting rated on both sides, you know, as a police officer, normally, and as a member of the triads.
Normally when you're driving, you're just like, go
yeah,
run over
cares?
People, crash into cars. It doesn't matter. Here, you have to like obey the traffic signs. And if you, I accidentally rear-ended a car in front of me and it took off points. And I'm like, but damn it. All I did was rear-end them. I wasn't like, I didn't kill anybody.
Officer, caused some serious
was rear-ended.
Bumper damage.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, okay.
Believe me,
I'm
rear-ended
like
someone.
A little grandma in this game. And I'm like, this isn't right. I shouldn't be driving like a grandma in this game.
It still costs money when you rear-end someone.
Yes. And so, you get minus points on your police score.
But, on your police score, yeah.
But and they totally drive on the wrong side of the road or opposite side of the road. How many times have I
the right side for them.
Right into the wrong oncoming traffic. I'm like, oh, don't it.
One of the things
up on the sidewalk.
That I did in the settings, I always turn on subtitles.
Ooh,
because
yeah.
I find that no matter what game I'm playing, there are times that I just can't understand what they're saying,
mm-hmm.
even if it's in English.
Yeah.
So I went in and I noticed that there was a subtitle option for all English, or you could leave the Mandarin on. And mm-hmm. that, because the very first scene, they're talking in Mandarin. But if you put subtitles on in English, then you know what they're saying.
Right.
So
my default is it will only kick in if they use a native phrase. Like, if they're just speaking English and then they'll throw in, mm-hmm. you know, like a phrase, then the whole thing will show up, transcript it for me. But gotcha. Other than that.
Yeah, no. I just had the whole thing. Like, yeah, I want to know what they're saying.
I play with subtitles, too, almost every game.
Yeah.
It killed me that one of the bad guys is named Winston. Like, seriously, who names their kid Winston? Winston? A young Asian man named Winston? That is not a young Asian
Maybe
man's
their
name.
Parents thought Winston Churchill was a great man. I don't know.
Well, they're in Hong Kong, too. Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit
or
different
the cigarettes.
In Hong Kong.
It could be the cigarettes. Winston cigarettes.
I mean, it's true that a lot of Asian people will pick an English name, like as a second name. Mm-hmm. But that just seemed like a weird name.
I have a Vietnamese friend. Her name's Dao. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, when we first started becoming friends, she would call herself Susie to other people. Like,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'd say to her, like, who's Susie? She goes, oh, that's my Americanized name. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, people can't typically say my name Dao. And I'm like, really? Like, they can't say Dao?
No, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was her. And the story was how she got Susie. It wasn't even something that she chose or her parents chose for her. When she went into kindergarten, the teacher said, oh, Dao's too hard. You're going to be Susie instead.
What?
I was like, oh my God. Are you kidding me, Dao?
That's not cool.
It was horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
So,
but there is right now a very famous Korean actress whose name is just Susie. Like, that's her American name. Just
really,
just Susie.
It's just Susie. Nothing.
Just Susie.
Just Susie.
It. Like Cher. You know.
And our tour guides when we were on vacation, Amanda mm-hmm. and Winnie, and one of the girls in the shop, Selena.
Interesting.
They all have Americanized names. Huh. Yeah, or English names, I should say. Yeah, in addition to their traditional names. So interesting.
So the one thing about this game that bugged me was in the fighting. So I'm sitting there fighting one person, maybe two at a time. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, a third person will get in there. But then there's like seven other guys just standing around.
Just standing there waiting their turn.
I'm
That's
like,
traditional.
Is it?
Have you ever seen a kung fu movie? It is never a pile-on. They all wait their turn.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not realistic. I mean, if I was actually killing their comrades, do you think they would just be standing around?
Well, it's my turn.
That just bugged me.
You turned on me, your turn to die.
That's right. I'm waiting my turn. I'm third. I got to wait for these other two guys to get their butts kicked. And then it's my turn. But I'm totally not going to learn from what they just did wrong. I'm going to do exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Why didn't that work? I don't understand.
It makes it easier for me to fight them because, you know, I can only deal with the two people at a time because I can, you know, be hitting one, then block the other one and crunch his knee. But all these other guys, you know, like
when I do a kick and I take out two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite. When I do like a swing kick and the roundhouse kick and I take out two of them. I'm like, yes!
I do like that too.
You're like, woohoo, I rock.
There's also a clothing component to the game.
Yes.
So
I unlock my first shirt.
People around you will react to maybe you get a new pair of jeans or a new shirt mm-hmm. or something like that. So right. there is some value in upgrading your appearance, I guess.
Well, and have you gone into your wardrobe?
Yes, that was the first one.
Yeah, that I've got what all games? I've got a Portal shirt.
Yep.
And I've got what other shirts do I have? I've got like five t-shirts in there. That's like, oh, that's so cool, but they don't get me any rep or points or any bonuses. So I'm just wearing my thug stuff because it gets me bonuses.
Yeah. Baggy pants.
Yeah, my baggy pants. Or I could wear my underwear. I could just run around in my underwear.
Yes, that's right.
What kind of bonus do you get for that?
Nothing.
Oh.
No bonus for that. One.
Well, you should. You should get a lot of bonus.
You should.
Like a big balls bonus or something. I don't know.
You totally should. That would be awesome.
All in all, I mean, I think this game was, what, $8? It was on sale?
It was like 75% off. How could you say no?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Really it. Totally one of those games that slid underneath the radar for me. And, you know, coming back to it, I'm digging it. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A mm-hmm. lot of fun. I was surprised by this. And did you guys ride the motorcycle yet?
Yes, that's scary.
Killed so many people.
I was like the worst on that. I said, okay, I'm going to stick to that little car, that little car. And then yeah. I stole my first car, so. Yeah,
yeah. I killed so many people with the motorcycle. It's like, I'm sorry.
That's funny. So both games, yeah. I think, thumbs up for me.
Yeah, yeah, sleeper surprises for us.
Yes, very much sleeper surprises. I liked them. I liked them. I had a very good gaming week.
Yeah. Yes. It was a good,
fun one.
And then,
you know, I got to credit Steam again, you know, because they have all these games, they throw them out on sale, and all of a sudden you get the chance to try a game that you wouldn't normally have tried. I mean, mm-hmm. like we said, I didn't want to pay $60 for a game, but I'll pay
$8.
Seven.
Yeah, seven. Yeah.
I'll pay seven well, a year later.
Especially if you're not really sure going into it. Because the only person that I have talked with that has played this game is Brian Dunaway. And he typically plays the demos, and he enjoyed it. So I think that was kind of my, I'll give it a shot. I remember Brian saying he enjoyed it. So, but other than that, he's the only person I've ever spoke with that has played the game. And maybe
I've seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about it when it came out mm-hmm. and how much everyone was liking it. And I was always like, I want to try that. So yeah, I'm glad we did. I'm really glad we did.
Yep.
And then Kim, we had you had an indie game, Rogue Legacy, that you've been playing, and we talked about it on the last episode. And it was DRM free, and you shared it with me because I wasn't sure if I was going to like it or not. And I installed it. And I have to tell you, when I install a game and I look at the README and they say, hey, thanks for playing our game. If you didn't pay for this, we understand. Basically, we understand that not everybody has a lot of money and that you're taking advantage of the DRM. I instantly felt guilt and I went and bought it on Steam.
Oh, nice.
Well, that and the fact that I couldn't get the copy you gave me to work, Kim.
Oh, yeah, no, really?
That installer is crazy.
Yeah.
That installer is, you know.
So I just went ahead and picked it. It's $15 and it looked like a fun little game. And I've heard a lot of great things. I know Scott has been raving about it. And I know you said you liked it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy the damn game. It's an independent developer. What am I doing? So I paid the $15 on Steam and now I own it. And how long have you been playing it, Kim?
I've only been playing it a couple of weeks. Not that long. So
I'm curious to know how long your lineage is, because within the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, I feel like I have, you know, generations of people because I've died so much in this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, no.
It says you'll die, but your children will avenge you.
Yeah.
Because that's funny.
I mean, that is the premise of kind of the crux of this game, is you start out as a knight. And you're going through the different levels, and it's really easy to die.
Really easy to die. Seriously, do not get this game if you get frustrated, because you will just want to throw it.
Yeah,
definitely want to throw
it. Especially when you're not really sure what's going on. Like I went into it, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go to the right because that's where I think I should go. And I'm, you know, hopping and swinging my sword and doing all kinds of stuff, and the next thing I know I'm dead, and then I have to pick who my next of kin is going to be, and that's uh-huh. who I play as. And so it was weird because I wasn't expecting my spawn, I guess. Because at first I thought there was something wrong with the game because everything was black and white, it was gray, and I could only see like a few inches in front of me, and then everything went blurry. But that's part of the game where
that's what it says in the description here. It says, you'll die, but your children will avenge you. They might be genetically deficient, but that's okay. You still love your colorblind baby, or do you?
Yeah. And that's what was happening. I'm like, what is going on with this game?
What's wrong with you?
But I was like, oh, it's because they're colorblind and far side or nearsighted. Which one's the one you can see in front closer? I don't remember.
Nearsighted.
Nearsighted. So the kid was nearsighted and colorblind. But it's a fun little game.
Do they get worse from that?
Do they? I don't
like,
know.
Like, I have asthma because or you something
can,
like that?
You can pick. So, like, I have an option of three, so you can evaluate which one you want to play as, and you can kind of try out. And each one of the characters has a different special move. So, like, there's one where I can throw down this massive sword in front of me. There's other ones where I can it's like a projectile twirly sword. I don't know. It's weird.
There are tons of things. Yeah. And it, again, this is, you know, like a game from the 80s. This game is so easy to hack. You can, and well, hack is probably not the right word, but
modify.
You can definitely, you can modify it all you want, you know? So if you're into that, it's easy to do. I mean, it's seriously easy to do. And then you can go in and name your children. If you want, like, there's just an XML file or a text file, actually. You just go in and you can just put any name that you want in there as long as it's like 8 characters long, which is so much fun. So I could go in and name all my girls and all my boys, you know,
Joey.
Something. Yeah. Something different. Or, you know, some theme that I have that I want all my offspring to do. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I still am not sure, like, do you just kind of keep moving forward? Because I've noticed that the maps change, too. And you're collecting coins, and then you can get a blacksmith and get little upgrades. But when you die, you only have one opportunity to use your coins. And then when you go back into the castle, you have to quote-unquote pay the toll, which is basically all the money that you have. Oh, so you want to use it before you go in.
Oh, I see.
So
definitely.
And the first few times I had like nothing. So I'm like, I'm paying the toll of nothing. I'm terrible at this game. And have you
but
gotten
you're
to
terrible,
an end?
But it doesn't kind of matter because, you know.
Is there like an end? Like, what's my goal? I don't understand what my goal is in this game.
I don't actually either. I think it's just to keep dying and keep exploring. That's kind of, I guess, what
to make the largest family tree possible,
right?
With the most weird ass little offspring you can ever imagine. All these genetically inferior people, I guess. I guess inferior is probably not the right word to use. I guess
not.
Well, non-hero like. In the trailer, they have Lady Jojobe, the flatulent dwarf mage. Nice.
Oh, that's so funny.
Go, my children, go.
There's a family survival guide, Rogue Legacy Family Survival Guide on Destructoid that I'm looking at right now, and it kind of walks you through your heroes and your family tree and. It's a how the character classes work, so it's a fun little game. And if you're even interested in, and I would recommend it. But don't take it too seriously, or you're going to be really really upset. Really, nice. Really upset.
And they do have a demo on their website.
Oh, do they?
So, yeah. Well, there you go. So you can try it out.
But didn't it? I mean, it really did take me back to the old 8-bit, 16-bit games. You know, that we used to play, and it was just kind
Ghost
of
and
a...
It kind of reminded me of Ghosts and Goblins. And
yes, that's exactly what the trailer says, a modern-day Ghosts and Goblins.
Yep.
It's a nostalgic game, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember how much you used to die in games?
All the time. Ooh, yeah.
I mean, there was no save mechanic.
So you're going to give this one a shot? I would be curious... Stephanie, from your perspective, how far you get? I wish there was a way. Is there a way to like share your family tree?
I don't know.
That would be kind of cool.
I'm sure there is.
It would be funny to see. Yeah, your family.
So
tree
I've got
put out there.
I don't really know how to get my family tree, but I've got like 32,000 gold to start out with. So I mean, I've I've Holy gotten crap. To the point that I can pretty much kill a lot of stuff, but it doesn't matter because you still die. I mean, it doesn't matter how awesome your gear is. Like, I'm like level, I don't know if this is like level 8 or I'm on like the 8th set of maps or I don't really know how that all works or what it is.
That's the cool thing about a game like this. You don't, I think we as gamers over the years, I remember when we played Nintendo games and it would come with a manual and you would read through the manual. Like, manuals don't really exist anymore. Mm-mm. And we, I think, just kind of expect a game to teach us. That's the manual.
Yes.
So when you get a game like this, you're like, well, it kind of would be great to have a little bit of a manual because I'm not sure what I'm doing. So, I mean, and there's like little things that they'll teach you, but I'm sure this is the kind of game that would be helpful to read up on before you play it if you really want to take advantage of everything the game offers. Yes,
exactly. That's definitely because I there's a lot I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's got a lot of humor in it though. I like that. Did you see some of the little Easter eggs in it?
Yeah.
There's like they've got Skyrim Easter eggs in it and some, of course, Mario ones and things like that. So the Easter eggs are all through it as well. So they don't take themselves too seriously, which is good.
And that's why
it's frustrating.
I was like wanting to buy the game because I could just see a handful of developers putting all their fun energy into this game. And then, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to also make it DRM free. And, you know, if you can't buy it, it's cool. We understand. But I'm like, you know what? I can buy it, and I'm going to buy it. I'm going to support them, and there. Done. So nice. There you go. You can get it on Steam. You can go to their website, pick it up, download the demo. There's a lot of ways to give it a shot if you're interested in it. So, all right. Let's move on to our iPhone games. Kim, is Ultima Forever free?
Yes. So
you're like the Ultima queen.
I am. I love Ultima. So I was like, you know, dubious of this. I was like, oh my God,
have you been following this?
Terrible. And it's from EA. So I'm like, oh my God,
even worse.
EA is going to take it and, you know, fart all over it. But this was actually soft launched in Canada about a month ago to, you know, for play, kind of like the Plants vs. Zombies is doing.
Oh, right.
And so it was only in Canada, so all the Canadians got to try it out. But just, I think, yesterday or the day before, it was released in America, and it's free. So that means also pretty much you can buy anything. There's only, I think, one thing, like the little legacy points or something, that you can't buy. Everything else you can buy. I haven't been tempted to buy anything yet, but for a free game that's this
good reviews.
Immersive, it's I will probably buy something. But it really, the storyline takes off from Ultima 4. So, but it has an Ultima 6, 7 type feel. It's like a top-down type feel to it. I haven't gotten that far into it because I've only got it yesterday. So I haven't got a whole lot into it. But so far, it feels like Ultima of your, you know, the old time Ultima games.
So you're, look you're for in
that.
Heaven,
I'll
then.
Definitely, I'll definitely be playing that more and more. It's really good on the iPad. So far, combat is good. The movement is good. The story is good. The music is good. Everything is good so far. So I was very excited that EA didn't ruin my Ultima.
Yay.
And we've got the Quest for Avatar. That's the Kickstarter from the original
developer.
The original developers. Richard Garriott, I think, is the, you know, one of the original developers. And he started the Kickstarter for that. So that's coming out, I think, next year. But this is a good... I think this is a great Ultima spinoff, and it takes right off from Ultima 4. So, yeah, it's probably about a year after Ultima 4. So it's really good. And if you like Ultima, I would say check it out. It's free. So check it out, definitely.
Cool.
Well, yes, very happy with that.
My little iOS game that I picked up, it's one that was featured on iTunes. It's called Nightmare Tower. Night as in like a person. Night with the K.
Kings, queens, and knights.
Yeah, king, queens, and knights. A Nightmare Tower. So you play this little knight, and it's hard to explain because you're using the gyrometer or whatever, and you're turning it side to side, and you're being shot up in a rocket, and you're going through and this tower, and you're breaking through floors and whatnot. But as you're being shot up, there's like all these little monsters underneath you, and you tap the screen to send your knight down with his sword to slice them up. So you're slicing, so you're constantly tapping and moving because they're all over the place, and you're slicing the monsters. And it's one of those survive the level kind of games.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just a throwaway. I'm sitting in the doctor's office. I have 5 minutes to kill. But it's really cute, and I love the artwork, and it's fun. It's nice. $2.99. You don't know if you want to pay $2.99 for one of those throwaway casual games. But you get potions and level ups, and you're saving the princess. And so you have 10 princesses to rescue. Yeah, and there's a campaign and then a survival, two modes, campaign and survival mode of the game. So it's made by Juicy Beast Studio. So Nightmare
Tower. But it's not supported on the fourth generation iPod.
Yeah.
So make sure you have
not enough memory on that one. So it's a cute little game. So there you go.
Looks cute.
Yep. Nightmare Tower. And then we have Is this you, Stephanie?
Layton? No, huh?
That's me. Is that you? Again.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, you like the Layton brothers.
Yeah, I was really excited to see, you know, Professor Layton, you know, in the Layton brothers mystery room. Mm-hmm. I was so disappointed in this game.
So was I. Because I downloaded it to myself like 2 weeks ago. Well, more than that.
So let me get your view on it. Did you play Professor Layton on anything?
No.
Okay, so let me get your view of it first. Let's get your view, because mine's coming from the Professor Layton side, and I was like, yes, I love Professor Layton. Let's play this. Mm-hmm. So let's get your review on it.
Okay, it's not too dissimilar from the lawyer one. What was his name?
Ace attorney, Phoenix Wright.
Right, Phoenix Wright. There you go. It's not too different from that, where there's some kind of scenario and you're meant to figure it out by looking through clues. And I enjoyed the clue part, although they seemed kind of strange. But there was so much dialogue, I thought I was going to die tapping to get past it. I mean, seriously.
That's how I felt like, about the iPad version of Ace Attorney.
Speak faster. It was so annoying that I was rushing to get through all this stupid dialogue that kept popping up in single little bullets and little balloons. And it was horrible.
And there was no skip. I was like, can I just skip this?
Yes,
because it like reviews the case for you every time, and it's like, oh my god, stop it.
Exactly.
Like, I get it.
Can we move on? Yeah. And then there were some things that it refused to show me that were obviously important, but I couldn't get the view that they were looking for, that you know, was supposed to be the clue in my head. Like, it was okay. Well, first of all, there's only three cases, even though it's free. There's only three cases, then you're meant to pay for more. Mm-hmm. So in the third case, it was obviously a murder mystery, and who did it? And what turned out to be important was this folded up piece of paper that was meant to be folded in a shape, but I never got to look at that shape to see what it was. And it just said, it's a folded up piece of paper. And I was like, oh, so frustrated. Why are you doing this to me? It's meant to be a clue, but I can't look at it like you want me to.
Right, right. Weird.
So, yeah. The one that the dialogue was just, it was out to kill me. This dialogue was just meant to make me suffer every waking moment. And then,
I think
the clues
I think
were
so.
Yeah, it was like,
so if you're looking for the charm of Professor Layton, because that was, to me, it was a very charming game.
It wasn't when you played it.
No, so I would not bother with this game at all.
Just do the DS ones.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and I like, the DS ones has a lot of dialogue too, but you can go through it pretty quickly, mm-hmm. And get through it. But then it has puzzles. This doesn't have any puzzles to it. Mm-hmm. This is a mystery game, more like a Phoenix Wright, but they didn't even take it to the same level as Phoenix Wright. Mm-hmm. This was a charmless, boring game to me.
Well, free. Great. There you go.
Yeah, it's free if you want to live through.
Try it.
Tons of dialogue.
Go through the dialogue. I mean, that's there's one guy review. I must be missing something. From what I can see, all this quote unquote game is a series of speech bubbles. You tap the screen to progress through the conversation.
It starts out and you think, okay, they're just setting it up and then they'll get past it. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. It will be the whole game.
Test your wits against the speech bubbles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I mean, so it's a murder mystery, right? Who did it? So there's three suspects, and then you do a brief interview with them, and then they just say, "Who do you think did it?" And you're just meant to just pull it out of your butt who you think is the person, and he just kind of goes, shakes his head, no, or yes, you're right. Now let's see why you're right. And I'm like, what? That's just weird.
Interesting. Silly. So yeah. I remembered the game. The iOS game that I was thinking with the Deadlight, it was a game called The Silent Age.
I don't remember that.
And so The Silent Age, it was a kind of a time traveler, side scrolly puzzle game on iOS. And there's the first episode is out. It's really a smart, fun game. And I think it might even be free because they are trying to raise money for the second episode right now. If you go to thesilentage.com, you can read all about this game. Again, you can get it on iOS or on your Android. I really enjoy that game, and I've kind of been watching it because I really want to play episode two now. So I need to donate so they make it. So
right. Oh, I can see why it would remind you of that.
Yeah.
Although Deadlight's much grittier.
Yeah, and of course Deadlight is more expansive. It's a bigger game than this little thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I finally remembered it as we were talking. And then finally we have...
How could you forget that mustache? That is a 70s stash right there.
Well, woo! It takes place in the 70s.
72.
we have Mateo's app of the week, and this is a segment where my little boy, he's only 21 months old, he has fun with the iPad, and I download certain apps and I watch which ones he likes to play, and he has his preferences from week to week. This week is a little app by the developer Callaway, which I love Callaway. This developer, anything they come out with, I instantly buy because they have an amazing track record of some just wonderful kid apps. This one is called Bebop Blocks. Mm-hmm. And at first I didn't think he would get it because he got a little frustrated because what it is, you pick the block shape, so there's like llama and dump truck, and there's a little conveyor belt that comes around with all the blocks, and they have to pick up the block and put it, and it shows them the ones that they need to put in. It's not always, they're not always in order. So Mateo was picking up the first ones going, I can't put it because it's like the third one. So, but he finally figured it out after a few tries, and I would help him. I always, with these apps, I always have to help him the first few times, but then next thing I know, he's doing it on his own. I'm like, whoa, you just put together a llama. But the little voices on this app are adorable, and I'm going to play just the little intro here, if you can hear it. So, see if it plays. So that is the intro. How adorable is that? And then you just, and then you pick, you know, duck. And then you get, goes around. It's freaking adorable. It's $2.99. Again, totally worth it. All these apps that I recommend. And you have the little, and you hear the little tic-tacs. Those are the blocks, kind of pick them up. And as you build the little thing, there'll be a big celebration, and there's confetti, and it's just it's so freaking cute. So, yeah, there you go. Mateo's App of the Week, Bebop Blocks, $2.99. Pick it up. If you have a little one, they'll love it.
So. Oh, that nice. Is so cute.
Bebop nice. Blocks. All right, so let's get into some internet news and fun. This week, friend of the show, and I'm going to, Indie Techno on Twitter had tweeted us and said, hey, you should really check out Game On Girl. And it's a website and podcast. And he said, I think it would be a good cross promotion for the shows. And I was like, I have no idea who you're talking about. How do I not know about this podcast and mm-hmm. website? And I find, you know, I'm always surprised because I think, oh, I know a lot. I know almost all of the women podcasts out there mm-hmm. that do, especially on video games. And somehow they slipped underneath my radar. I was on their website around 2009, around the same time we started up.
Wow.
They kicked off their website. I'm not sure when they started doing their podcast, but it's hosted by Dr. Regina McMenemy. I'm sorry, I just butchered your last name, but and Rhonda, they do a podcast again, women in gaming, and I was listening to some of their episodes, and they did one on feminist frequency, and I loved it so much. And Steph or Kim, I think you should definitely listen to that podcast because I know we were talking about. The episodes that Feminist Frequency has been coming out with the trope, the damsel in distress, mm-hmm. and she's now on episode 3, and it's getting, you know, I want to be supportive, but it's, and we were trying to kind of talk about why is this feeling not as good as we thought it would be?
Oh yeah,
and there's an episode that the Game On Girl podcast does, and they talk about it. That I just thought was so smart, and I really, really appreciate them kind of diving into it.
I want to listen to that. Yes. With her too, you know, this is just a quick side note. You feel like if you say anything negative against it, you're going to be attacked, right? You know? So I just haven't said anything.
Well, if you say anything positive about it, you're going to be attacked.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So where's the middle ground?
Yeah.
You know, how do we strike a balance between pandering and attacking it outright, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, it's because it's such a sensitive topic.
It is. And I think my thing is we are women too in this industry, and we want to be supportive of another, because the last thing I want to do is come down on another woman, but I also don't want to blindly support mm-hmm. someone.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
You have to
I'll have to listen to that, definitely.
Yeah, it's a really great episode. I was listening to it. And they touched on some really great points. And I'll put a link in the show notes for everyone that's interested in checking them out. My new love is Stitcher, and I just started working out again this week, and it's amazing how much time I now have to listen to podcasts when I work out. Because I find that listening to podcasts distracts me from working when I'm at home. So when I'm at the gym, it's a perfect combination now. So I'm catching up on a lot of podcasts that I haven't listened to in a long, long time. But they had a really cool quiz. It's Take the Gamer Type Quiz. And it's a series, it's a really short quiz, roughly 20 questions. And each one of the questions, so like for instance, what's the first one? My avatar gender is A, dependent on the story, B, the same as mine, C, whichever. And you go through these questions and you pick kind of how you play the game. And all three of us took the quiz, and I found it fascinating that we were all different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So for me, when I did the survey, I had 40% in mastery, and that is my primary reason for gaming is to hone my skills. More or less, I'm an achievement whore.
Nice.
35% was the self category, being there would make the experience a little more fun. And 25% was role, which is a good story never hurts. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought for me, the story is everything. And I really thought that would be higher, but the quiz told me a little different.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Kim, your results, what were your results?
Let's see here. So you're pretty balanced. I mean, you're not too far off. I was like really surprised because I had 70% self.
Yeah.
So basically it's all about me.
Gaming
is a way to interject your personal experience into an adventure.
Right.
Sense, because I mean, my favorite games, World of Warcraft, Ultima, totally immersive, you know, me being that person. 20% mastery. You like good gear and you cannot lie. You can't deny. And 10% role, which a good story never hurts. Yeah. So, gosh, I don't care about the story at all.
And I remember specifically saying a good story really drives how much we enjoy a game. Yeah. Well, apparently it doesn't, really.
No.
Interesting. And then, Stephanie, how about you? What were your results?
I was very close to what Kim was, but 55% self. 25% role and 20% mastery.
So your role and mastery were swapped.
Yes. So she had 20% mastery. I had 20% mastery, but I had more role
because
my self was a little less.
So I was mastery, self, role. Kim, you were self, mastery, role. And then Stephanie was self, role, mastery.
Right? But I mean, when you look at the questions, it makes sense. Like my avatar's hair is... Well, I picked what I wish I had because that's pretty much true. I wish my hair looked as cool as some of these people's hair does.
When I'm playing Fallout, though, the hair in Fallout is, you know, the patchy one where she has like little sprigs of hair coming out.
Oh, dear Lord, you picked that?
It's
like she had mane. Oh, my Lord.
But it fits the story. It fits that. I mean, you would expect somebody that is in a, you know, nuclear apocalyptic time to not have much hair.
See, but on Fallout, I picked the spiky hair that's like a mohawk thing because I would love to have that. I just never have the nerve to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's
so
funny.
It was the hair I wish I had. Or it fit the story as well because you're kind of a rebel, but it was a way to interject me into the story, you know,
and I think that's the definition of self.
So what did you say? For number four, my avatar's race is A, attractive, B, one that eases gameplay, or C, suitable.
Suitable.
I said one that eases gameplay. Because think about it. There are some games that I noticed this in Skyrim. Some of the uglier races were very skilled and I think could probably make gameplay easier, but then you would be a lizard.
Right.
You know, so.
See, I don't like orcs. I never play orcs or, not orcs.
Tauren?
No.
Oh, what's yeah,
are we doing Skyrim
World
or WoW?
World of Warcraft, yeah. I won't play the ugly characters. You know, I just won't, you know, and it's like
you're a troll.
Yeah, but I've made my troll like really cool looking, you know.
You're
she's got
still
blue
a troll.
Hair. Yeah, but she's like cool. She's like a cool troll.
Right? Okay.
I don't
All
like
right.
playing.
You have like horns coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, but they're like polished and
but
they're
pretty.
So cute. They're dainty.
I put pink polish on.
man. Yeah, so, I. Yeah. This definitely highlighted some things for me.
I loved it. Like, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, but for me, it reflects that. For me, gaming is me wanting to insert myself into the game and mm-hmm. enjoy the game. And yeah. that was pretty much what I came away with, which, yeah, that's what I want. I want to insert myself into the game and have some fun.
Yeah.
I mean, achievements are cool, but I won't cry if I don't get them all.
I really do like, because it's funny because I'm 40% mastery and 35% self. So I, too, like to put myself in there. But mm-hmm. I think I like dominating and like winning a little bit more.
Nice.
See, and that's why I say you're more balanced. You've got more a balanced view of games. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think it reflects too kind of the different way or the different games that we like mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a cool survey. I'll link it in the show notes. You could also go to gameongirl.com/gamerquiz and see what kind of gamer you are too. I love it. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a DragonCon as well. And in fact, Rhonda is going to be leading some panels. I'm guessing in the gaming track because I don't have her in the podcasting track. But
nice.
It says she's going to do some live podcasting.
Well, definitely a lot of we have to catch meet up with them.
Yeah.
I like this site a lot. They've got a lot of good articles on
there.
It's
a very smart site. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
We just talk about games. They like actually assess and approach it. We're like, I kind of like this game. I kind of like that game.
Right.
All right. So let's keep this show moving. We got some emails. we have one from Robert. I don't think I've read this one. I'm trying to archive the ones that we read. So Robert says, I wanted to express my appreciation for the newish app section focused on child-friendly content, Mateo's app of the week. Having a five-month-old, that's a really great, really beginning to gain an interest in books and our phones/tablets. I've looked into each selection. I've actually called my wife to have her look up the alphabet with animal sounds out, only to find she's beat me to it. she's a speech therapist by trade, and she's considered a considerable collection of language apps. Nice. I love Endless Alphabet is the app that he's referring to there. That mm-hmm. really is my number one favorite one. My real reason for the email, however, is to pass along a fantastic book app we have found. One of the books we have enjoyed sharing with our son is The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore. After discussing this book with another parent, we were directed toward their... I just totally lost my place. toward their book in iTunes. This is similar to the Sesame Street book app in one of your earlier segments. So I can't wait to try this little book out because Mateo loves his Sesame Street books. He loves all books on the iPad. So thank you, Robert, for recommending that. And I'm sure Mateo will love it too. So I'll give that again a try. The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesman is the app name. All right, so our next email is from Nightlion. Nightlion, your email was really long. I'm going to
quickly. Well, we appreciate it.
I really do appreciate it, and we're all reading it. But I'm going to quickly summarize it. Nightlion wants us to pick at least 5 games that we would like to beat between June 1st and September 30th as a summer challenge.
Right.
I mean, I know we all have backlogs. I mean, Steam has really helped us with that.
Oh, yeah. And I've got new ones thanks to the summer Steam sale. Amazing.
He mentions Animal Crossing, but is that really a game that you can beat?
No.
Because
no way.
One of the best...
Well, he says it can count if it has an achievable goal.
Okay.
So if you have a goal in the game,
yeah, pay off.
Well,
the
yeah, there are definitely goals. Like if you want to get the golden, the tools, so the golden axe or the golden tools or something like that. That's like a an achievement or it's a goal that you can do.
I'm sure. I know. I'm really loving. I mean, Animal Crossing still, and I've handled the migraines by always having the TV on, so I look up.
And oh, yeah.
Find myself
yeah.
With, and I haven't had any migraine since. So.
What? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I just
what
find.
What does this mean?
Because, well, the problem
is in the game.
Well, with Animal Crossing, I was focusing on the screen so much that I was having migraines.
I see.
And
I
so
it was like a function of the game.
No.
Like, achievement trees and stuff like that. I was like, what?
Achievement unlocked.
I don't understand that.
So I just
but it's yeah. you physically. Okay, I get
so, yeah,
it.
Yeah, physically I get migraines when I Oosh. Focus too long on Animal Crossing. So by turning on the TV, I inadvertently make myself look up quite frequently, which alleviates the migraines. So I know I'll be continuing to play Animal Crossing. One of the best quotes I've read, you don't play Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing plays you.
And that is so true too.
So true. Don't pick five, just pick one game that you would like to finish for the summer.
Deadlight. I'd like to finish that one.
How about you, Kim?
Oh gosh. I guess I haven't finished Papo and Yo yet.
Yeah, I'd like to finish that. I want to finish. Is there really an end game to Skyrim? There is, right?
There's an end to the main quest.
Yeah.
There's a main quest line,
I'd like to finish that.
Yeah.
And I'd that also like to finish my DLC for Fallout that I started up. I haven't gone back to that. So
the Old World Blues?
Yeah, Old World Blues.
Yeah. That's a good one to finish, too. Those are two good goals.
Cool.
So, check out your Steam library. Pick a game and finish it. My problem is, just because it's summer, it's not like I'm off during the summer. I'm not a teacher or anything.
And then, but it's winter here.
Yeah. True.
Oh, for you. Yeah, in Australia, it's winter, right?
It is winter.
Yeah. And then we have an email from Byron. He's looking for, speaking of Animal Crossings, he's looking for any sites that we use or how-tos. Specifically, when you mentioned the QR codes and the mini games, his daughter and him are playing Animal Crossing. So is there any tips that you have for him?
I do. Actually, Cowboy from the Valentine's podcast, they sent me a great how-to site, and I posted it here. It's at thonky.com, Animal Crossing New Leaf. And that is a great starting guide. It tells you how to start, how to get to all these places, like get to the island, how to do the mini games, how to get the QR code machine. It tells you all that. Oh, cool. So it's a really, really good guide. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Also, just the Animal Crossing Wiki is really good as well. I go there for all kinds of things. It's a little confusing, though, because it has all the Animal Crossing. Oh, so you have to make sure that you specify New Leaf when you're looking for something, because there's five or six different Animal Crossings now. Yeah, so you've got to specify, but this one is specifically New Leaf, and it really does have some good information in it and some tips and tricks on how to make the most of your gameplay, because I think Animal Crossing has so much in it that you can get lost easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
very easily.
And he does ask about finding new friends. Do you know in the My Extra Life forums, are people exchanging codes, like friend codes?
I know there's a spreadsheet out there of that, but we can put ours in the show notes. I'll be glad to put mine in the show notes. But I think on the Extra Life forums, they do have that.
I would think so.
And I know there's a spreadsheet out there too that Samantha Jane has.
Okay.
That has like everyone's PSN code and your Xbox Live code and Wii codes and things like that. Yeah. So.
The thing that's frustrating with the DS is that you can't just add somebody's code and they're your friends. They have to add you back. So there has to be a two-way conversation happening to make sure that happens. So, if you're not familiar with the My Extra Life forum, it's myextralife.com. And just click on the forum button and it'll take you right to it. Sign up. There's a great group of people there. Go into the gaming section and you'll be – I know I've seen a thread on Animal Crossing New Leaf. What else was there? Anything else? Oh, well, he says he's excited about the podcast, that we're going weekly. Ours was the best find from Nerdtacular. So thank you, Byron.
Thank you. That was very nice.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. We enjoy doing this. So, mm-hmm. All right. I think that wraps up our show. If you would like to give us an email, Stephanie, how can people get a hold of us?
Oh, well, the email address is ladiesofleet@gmail.com, which conveniently ties into the website, ladiesofleet.com. So you can head on over there. And if you want to leave us a message, you can click on the little flyout tab. Click on that and record a message for us, because we do love those as emails. And, of course, we're all on Twitter. And Nicole is Nicole Spag, S-P-A-G. Kim is Just Kim Molly, J-U-S-T-K-I-M-O-L-L-Y. And myself, X-I-A-X-I-A-N-1.
Very good. Awesome show. We'll be back next week. And, we'll figure out again. We don't have it planned. We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants now.
Mm-hmm. We're going to scoop it up as it comes along.
Exactly. Let's see what's on sale at Steam.
That's right.
Exactly.
So thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. Sorry. My dog is like whining in the back. Up, and now he's like
I didn't hear him whining, but I heard him bark one time, or
right,
you know, burp. So he wasn't too bad.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.